repentance is to begin to defend the cause of the fatherless. Okay, God has told us about this. We understand it. It's been proven to us. What do we do for not being the father?
There's another level about to happen, and it's going to be, as you're seeing things happen, that says we've never seen that before.
Not a 100-year storm, but probably a storm that may never have been seen and may never be seen again.
I mean, people are being evacuated for attics, mm-hmm. and areas never flooded before.
Of course, the biggest tornadoes we've seen before. How could that happen in Boston? How could this happen?
People understand the techniques of Saul Alinsky and how you have to organize things, and you got to keep a continual pressure to be able to change behaviors. We have to watch what the right hand's doing when they're trying to be distracted by the left hand. There's one thing our president said. He said that the Middle East needs to be organized.
The future must not belong to those who slander the prophet of Islam. And I consider it part of my responsibility as president of the United States to fight against negative stereotypes of Islam wherever they appear.
When you see Iran building ICBMs, just remember, America, that's God's for you.
But I can guarantee you this. The days when the Jewish people remain passive in the face of genocidal enemies, those days are over. This is why, as Prime Minister of Israel, I can promise you one more thing. Even if Israel has to stand alone, Israel will stand. But I know that Israel does not stand alone. I know that America stands with Israel. I know that you stand with Israel.
In 2010, the U.S. patrol border reported that nearly 450,000 Islamic terrorists cross into the United States of America.
Yeah, we already know the news. We're trying to change it. The news is, if we don't repent, this storm is coming, and it's going to bring great devastation. We are going to suffer hugely if we don't turn.
We're being organized. We're being organized according to the Alinsky tactics, tactics that were taught by our president for 4 years in practice in his life, but he taught them for 4 years. His mentor was Saul Alinsky, wrote a book, Rules for Radicals, which was dedicated to Lucifer.
You know, Dr. King was saying from the platform of being a Christian, you know, who I believe would be an apostle and staying constitutionally right under the laws, but also, you know, doing his best to walk righteously before the Lord and boldly before his enemy, moving in love.
I have a dream. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal.
And I'd like to repent on behalf of the law enforcement. Yes, sir. Would you forgive us?
On behalf of those families that have been unjust, I stand before you now and we receive your repentance in the name of Jesus.
If you don't know what God's saying, if you don't know what the Lord's saying, you got to find out. Why aren't you hearing what God's saying? That we can turn back to God. We can say, Lord, here we are. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, it only takes seconds for things to happen that could take decades and generations to get over. But if we humble ourselves, God will just hear from heaven, heal our land. He'll stop this storm that's been fashioned against us.
You're about to see something come to pass in the very near future that your mind cannot even wrap around. It's going to be so magnanimous, so awful, so awesome. And the nations and the kings and the politicians of the earth, their mouth will be open. It's going to be a day like no other day. But when all is said and done, God will reclaim Israel and God will pour out his grace and his mercy even upon the United States of America.
God is about to give us mega grace. And the mega grace will produce mega power and mega conversions and mega outpourings and mega breakthroughs and mega gifts of the Spirit. And I don't know how to measure that. I just know God says it's coming.
And God spoke to me. He said, this is the wind of the end time revival. And this wind is going to blow not just United States. Again, there's going to be another greater movement of God's Spirit.
There's seven spheres of we call them mountains, really, that if you impact these mountains, the culture, you'll transform that culture. Religion, we would say the church, second family, education, business, arts and entertainment, media, and government. I believe the best days you know, for the churches ahead, but it's not going to look like anything like it looks like now. It's going to be exciting, exhilarating. It's going to be willing to go through things and rejoice in the fact that they went through it.
Understand that we need to build for 1,000 years.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me in just a moment is John Ramos. We're so honored that you joined us. Don't forget, for those that are on the Gulf Coast, every single Monday through Friday at 5 p.m., thanks to our sponsors, we're here. Today, we're going to get right into this. Can you believe the reports are, according to Judicial Watch, that there are ISIS camps, the same ISIS that we're seeing throughout in different parts of the world, in France and over in the Middle East and Iraq? The reports are, according to Judicial Watch, right over our borders, the borders that our own government is having issues with securing over Texas and New Mexico area. The reports are that there is ISIS camps right across the line, according to Judicial Watch. We're going to have more available to you, you know, on the VFN Torch about that and talking about this. But to me, it lines up exactly with, you know, what we're hearing from the prophetic ministry and man, Rick Joyner, out of Morningstar Ministries, where God told him specifically, and I believe it was September 2014, and you can see this, it's called ISIS is in America. And some gruesome things that we've seen on television and in our news, and those that have been in the Middle East that you've seen, understand that, you know, some of the things that God's saying, if we don't turn, it's going to be worse in America. And you think about this, that you know, the Lord says a storm. He says, I'm fashioning a storm against you. But if you blow the trumpet and warn my people and they hear that a storm is coming and then they repent, I'll stop the storm. And if they repent, I'll actually forgive their sins and I'll prevent this thing. And so we just want to be that trumpet that's just kind of going out today. And so God begins to speak and confirm things through dreams and visions. If you actually would have, you know, read the book of Acts and the first chapters where he's talking about that, he speaks to us in dreams and visions. I think about this. Amber Barr, just this Sunday morning, the Lord was speaking to her. I want you to hear this dream because it just lines up with some of the things that's going on. Watch this. She's explaining a dream that the Lord had gave her that Sunday morning. Watch this. At the VFN Dream Center.
Well, even thinking about it, like, makes me feel really, not anxious. Just, I feel a burning, like, it's going to happen. But anyways, this morning, I was dreaming right before I woke up. Oh, my gosh, it's so loud.
Not to us.
And, hold on. I should have brought my paper. But, all right, let me get back in the thing. Okay, so I was in this hotel, and there was a ton of people in the hotel. It was in Pensacola somewhere, so there was a ton of people. I guess, I don't know if it was all of Pensacola, but it was a lot of people, hundreds of people staying in this one hotel. And they were all gathered, like, in the foyer area. Like, you know, when you first walk in a hotel, you see the, I picture a huge, like, foyer, lobby. Yes, that's the word. And everyone was gathered watching a movie like Star Wars, maybe something like that. But at the same
this
time,
this is something that's happened because of the Hamilton DNA. Dear Lord, now watch what happens because it was Trek. It was patting his seat. Said, I can't help but know this is the direction.
Yeah, and anyways, back on track. So they're watching that movie, and I think at the same time, Brother Greg was teaching, I think, my dad, but it was kind of like a knowing, so I don't really know if it was happening or not, or if it was just a movie, but there was people, like a couple people in the group that were crying, and it was so packed that not everyone could see whoever was teaching or the movie, whatever was going on. So I'm like walking through these crowds of people, you know, having to step over people and all that stuff, and I'm trying to find, anyways, so I had my bag and my pillow with me, and I am going into this hallway, and I go in front of this door or whatever, and I, like, bend down. Like, I lay down the blanket, and lay down a blanket for my knees, and I bow down, basically, like I'm worshiping God and crying out for mercy. I'm like, God, have mercy, over and over again.
How intense was that?
And I'm like, It was really intense. Not as
impending
intense,
doom type yeah, situation.
Not as intense until the end of the dream, but it was mm-hmm. pretty like, God have mercy. And I'm like bending as low as I can to the ground. Like I look up and I look around, I'm like, people are gonna see me and think I'm crazy. And then I'm like, doesn't matter. So I just keep praying, like, God have mercy. Like I'm in a hotel hallway, mind you, like bending on the ground, praying for God to have mercy. And then I get up and I walk down the hallway and I look back and I'd left my pillow on the ground and there's this black, like animal-like creature that was laying behind me that whole time. And I see it and it like walks away from me, but it was sitting there and I like get creeped out because I'm like, man, that was there the whole time and I didn't even know it.
How about you, Emma? You think about that, how the enemy is just constantly, you know, working and you know, you wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness. And sometimes we be just going through so much stuff and we're thinking in the natural instead of saying, my goodness, there is something in the demonic realm that's messing with me,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's there, you know. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I'm walking down the hallway and then I end up in this boat shop or a car shop or a store like Lowe's. I don't know what it was, but I remember seeing boats and like car lifts and stuff, which that might have something to do with my husband since he's a car technician. But anyways, I pick up two random car parts. I don't know what they were. Just remember they had zip ties on it and I was like holding them with the zip ties.
Car part.
At least one of his car parts zip tied together.
It was either a spark plug or a manifold, I'm not
yeah,
sure.
I don't right? really know. One of those. So I'm carrying these and I look outside and I'm trying to get somewhere. And it looked sunny at first, and then I realized that it just started raining, and the guy's like, you're going to get soaking wet if you walk out there. I'm like, well, I really need to get to this place, so I'll come back and pay for these in a second. So I walk outside, and it starts pouring, like drenching rain, huge lightning strikes, really loud thunder, like scary, so windy. And then I look out, and I'm off Highway 29, and you know, like that seafood market by by the Walmart on 29 and the Compass Bank.
For those
Bank.
That are listening, Highway 29 in Pensacola,
Florida.
Yeah,
yes. Right? And so I'm just south of of the Walmart on 29. And I walk out and I see a ditch that's completely flooded and the rain is just pouring and I can barely walk. Like I'm trying to walk to, because I realized, okay, that was dumb to walk out here.
You're walking through the water now.
Yeah, well, I'm not in the ditch yet, but I'm trying to get away from it, and the wind mm-hmm. keeps blowing me.
Mm-hmm.
And so all of a sudden, it was like, I hear this, I forgot to put in what I sent you, but I hear this speaker from the Highway 29 Walmart, which is just down the road, but it's kind of far away, but I hear this guy, like, speaking in complete pride and arrogance. Like, I don't remember what he said exactly, but I just felt this spirit of pride and arrogance. I'm like, oh my gosh, how can he be doing that at this time of ultimate destruction that's about to happen? Like, it was, I guess it could have been like the feeling you get when a hurricane's coming, like, really, that fear or like you're gonna die, basically. Yeah, anxiousness. But I had the fear of God. I was like, oh my gosh, God's going to strike us dead. You know how God in the Old Testament would wipe out people. You know, that's what it felt like. We were going to be wiped out. And so I hear him. He said, it's going to be just like in Canada, which I don't know what that means. But as soon as he said that, it was like this sucking in the air. You know, like what happens right before a huge thunder.
Vacuum, sucks the air out.
And then silence, and it was so scary, and I'm, like, trying to run to get cover, because I'm, like, God, have mercy. I'm screaming it, God, have mercy. Yes. God, have mercy. Like, we're going to die. Like, yes. That's what I was thinking. So, and then I was in between wanting to stay asleep and wake up, because I was scared to see what was going to happen. Like, it was that real, and I woke myself up, and I was crying and praying, you know, God, have mercy. So...
Well, you think about this, you know, I mean, God speaks specifically to us in dreams and visions, and this is just one. You know, that happened to be my beautiful daughter, but this is just one. I mean, he spoke to Rick Joyner of Morningstar Ministries. He's spoken to those that are, you know, in VFN TV, prophets around the world, and he's just warning, saying these things are coming, and we have to stay alert, and it's like, you know, he says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves. And what was being shown in this prophetic warning dream, and we're gonna talk more about this, think about ISIS camps are right on the other side of the border of Texas and New Mexico. We need to wake up. According to, as you see an intro coming into our program, that over 450,000, according to Kamal Saleem, reports of Qom Ministries, radical jihadists are potentially in our country. So we need to wake up and say, dear Lord, have mercy on us. We're going to do like Amber was doing in her dream. Like I say, God, have mercy on us. We're going to break this down and talk more about it after this break. Come back and join us.
This is VFN-TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back. Can obscene images be displayed in the workplace? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
I'm a mechanic for a city here in Oregon. It's fairly small, so we only have four bays and an office in the mechanic building. I went to my superintendent last week. My foreman has a calendar that I find offensive. I guess it would be classified as soft porn.
And that's in the workplace area?
Yes.
I'm surprised any county employer would allow something that would be deemed softcore pornography or would be inappropriate reference. I take it's a picture of a woman or something like that?
Yes.
I can't imagine that they are going to allow that in a work setting under the rules on workplace harassment and sexual harassment in the workplace. You could file a notice with the Human Resources Office. Tell them you're concerned about this. So that's exactly how I would handle it. And also, great resources at ACLJ. About your rights in the workplace, so we encourage you there.
Find out more at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. Welcome back to VFN-TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Talking about, welcome back, can we believe that, John, that there is according to Judicial Watch, there is an ISIS camp, the radical jihadist,
next door.
Yeah, this thing's stuck.
Next
whatever.
Door.
This thing, no, this book is shut.
Blue.
The right across our borders. And think about all the issues, we've been having, John, with, will you secure our borders? We're trying to secure our borders. We're working on trying to secure our borders. And, when you think about it, imagine if you're on a ship. You're on this big, huge ship. It's not a boat. They tell you it's not a boat when you're in the Navy. You call it a boat. It's like, it's not a boat. A boat is a small thing. And you're on the ship, and the exterior of the ship is the borders that keep you from drowning. You know what I'm saying? It's the outside of your boat. And so it's important for the captain of the boat to maintain the integrity of the borders of the ship. If not, you become, instead of a ship, you become a submarine. And all of a sudden, then it goes down, underwater. Right. And it's just a simple principle. For some reason, it's like today, it's like it's very, very, very important for the captain to maintain the shell of the ship so it can float. And in our leaders, you think about our leaders today, when you read the Constitution and what the Constitution says, one of the constitutional responsibilities of our leaders are to maintain, the integrity of our borders. And right across our borders, right across from...
just a few miles from El Paso.
Yeah, there's two, actually. One from close to El Paso, but there's another one that's right across New Mexico, too, the Mexican border. And they're actually funneling people in. The reports are in this article, from Judicial Watch, that they are trafficking in people and getting them over the borders. And you think, well, maybe that's how, according to Kamal Saleem, that 450,000 came in. And it's just not good. And you think about some of the words that was given by, Rick Joyner of Morningstar Ministries. All this is available to you on the VFN, on VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Mm-hmm. And there's a whole section under prophecies specifically for America. And one is about a warning that ISIS is in America. That was the warning. Well, Judicial Watch is saying right over the border, there's two camps. According to the article, from what I'm reading, is they're using these camps to funnel more people in that probably agree with their concepts into America. And this is not good. I mean, if you see a whole swarm of bees flying somewhere, you normally go somewhere. You see a swarm of jellyfish. If you're swimming or diving, you kind of avoid it. For some reason, when we're hearing about a swarm of people who are radically against God and radically against the Constitution,
against America, where nobody's running, nobody's being concerned about it. And this is like a swarming. And when that prophetic word, remember that Rick Joyner gave, the dream, the vision the Lord had given him, was it was like a, swarm of violence, just swarming like a whole bunch of bees with swarming.
Great evil, yeah.
Yeah, just swarming over the southwestern United States, Texas. And, you know, Texas was the first. You have to understand how I feel about Texas. Texas is like the strong man.
Yeah.
And they're the first state to have Sharia courts. I mean, not even Dearborn, Michigan had a Sharia court. But, and then it makes me think about, they just had a conference in Garland, Texas in January, and it was called, Supporting the Prophet. It was an Islamic conference. And
in Garland, Texas.
In Garland, Texas, which is right by Dallas, Dallas, Texas. Texas, you're just really amazing.
What's going on?
You know, so they're having a conference, and they want to, according to some of the article written on the conference was, you know, they're wanting to, all the negative things that are taking place. They had it right after the French
attack on Charlie Hebdo.
Yeah, exactly. And they wanted to be able to counteract that and to say, you know, that's not who we are. Mm-hmm. And they said that, you know, we need to have our own talking points, and they want to raise funds to be able to have a communication center in America to be able to, this is in Texas, to communicate their point. And so this one particular journalist that was there filed for credentials, and that's what he said, filed for credentials and also bought a ticket to go. And they wouldn't let him in as a press guy. And they wouldn't let him in. He's like, I got a ticket. And they wouldn't let him in. But he did get a chance to interview this young man, real nice man, and that was part of the conference. And he was so honest. It was so healthy, his conversation was, his viewpoint. And he was so honest. As a matter of fact, take a look at this now from Fox News.
Back in the book segment tonight, Waters World, the Muslim Conference Edition. Over the weekend in Garland, Texas, outside of Dallas, hundreds of folks attended an event called Stand with the Prophet, a conference and fundraiser. One of those people was Jesse Waters, kind of.
Seems to be a lot of turmoil in that part of the world.
Exactly.
A lot of beheadings,
right.
Stonings of women. Why is that tolerated in the Muslim world?
Because that's what we believe. It says in the Quran that women shouldn't be able to, you know, go out in public just, wearing regular clothes.
When women aren't allowed to drive in Saudi Arabia, do you think that's right?
I just believe what the Quran says because I'm a Muslim.
So you believe in subjugating women?
I don't believe...
Because that's what the Quran says?
No.
Would you like Sharia law in America?
Yes, that'd be nice.
Am I going to hell? Because I'm not Muslim.
Yes, you are going to hell, sir.
Oh, man!
You should come to the mosque.
I should.
Well,
they won't even let me in the convention. I don't think I'm getting it.
To me, that is so refreshing to hear this young Muslim man just authentically say, this is who I am.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I believe.
Right.
And you can read what I believe. It's written in the Quran.
Mm-hmm.
And we have on VFN TV.com, the VFN Torch, Islam 101, to be able to understand what does the Quran say. And we even compare it, the Bible to the Quran. Do they say the same thing? And it's just a kind young man. That's what he believes. And but you heard the just openly acceptance of the oppression of women.
Yes.
You know, just what it's what this says, you know, that you shouldn't come out of the house, right?
Don't drive.
And I did happen to see, you know, if it is accurate, if the video is accurate, because somebody was able to take some video from inside, they compared marriages from Christians, Mormons, Catholics, and Islam. And they said that they have the greater success rate in the marriage.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, the key is not come out the house.
Yeah, I guess. or out the room.
Out the room. But it was so refreshing to hear, though, is it not, this young man? And then
honestly,
he even reached out because he feels like in his heart that this reporter is going to go to hell. And so he even put an effort out to say, listen, come by where we meet at the mosque, and we'll talk to you about it. You know, how about Christians? If we start saying, you know what, The reality is, if you don't make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, we should be just kind as nice and say, this is not what we want for you. But if you don't, you're gonna. If they ask the question, am I going to go to hell? You say, yes, but you don't, that's not God's goal for you.
Absolutely.
You know, come by where we gather. Right. Let's go have a cup of coffee. God loves you. God's got a plan for your life. Listen, ISIS camps over the border. Think about this. 450 plus potential radical jihadists in America. Prophecies coming in by the droves. I mean, you heard the one just came this week, and there's even more that came in. God is shouting. People are going, yes, Sharia laws. That's you know, we have some Sharia law. Sharia law is the antithesis of the Constitution. You cannot have full Sharia law and the Constitution. It does away with Sharia law is this. The Quran is the law. Well, think about that. And he says, yes, that would be great to have.
Cut hand. We had him on the program. Right. You know? He was okay. He was okay with cutting of the hand.
We
cut
have some
hand,
great segments. To me, it's just to be honest, you know, and talk about it, because then you can talk about it. I really appreciate this young man taking the time to do that interview. And we as Christians need to stand up and say the same thing in regards to, you know what? This is what I believe. I believe the word of God. I live by the word of God. I believe it's the inspired in its original form without error. I believe that Jesus Christ is the word of God, born of a virgin birth, lived a sinless life, died a death on the cross for all mankind, including Muslims, that if in fact we accept Jesus Christ as the only way, as a sacrifice to God, then in making the Lord of our life, guess what? We enter into the kingdom of God. Hell's not for us. Heaven is for those who believe. More we get back from the break.
This is VFN-TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
You know, every one of us go through times in our life where it just seems hopeless. As a matter of fact, I remember watching young people who had on their windshields with vinyl lettering, the words were hopeless. I couldn't believe that. Why would you put that? Don't put that on your... You know, and I can understand, maybe it's a cry of your heart. You're going, listen, I need hope. Well, I got news for you that right now on your on VFNTV.com or on your VFNTV app, and you can find it by going to your browser and type in VFNTV.com, and it'll lead you through the steps to be able to have it on your iPhone or your mobile device or your iPad or iPod or your all the wonderful stuff that they have out there. And so, but with that, you can get hope, because you got to understand that, you know, when you think about Abraham, against all hope, in hope, he still believed. It's okay. A lot of times we're looking and said, okay, I've looked at the evidence. I looked at my inabilities. I looked at my finances. I looked at my relationship. I looked at what everybody's saying about me. I've looked at all these different things. But you can do that. You can look at your reality. It's okay in God to look at your reality. And in the natural sense, it ain't going to happen.
Right.
But you still can have hope against that hope, but it's a different hope. It's called faith. It says, now faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you don't see. And it's hope. It's that kind of hope. You know, inside of me, it hasn't manifested yet, but what I'm believing God for is going to come to pass. And, you know, and I have a dream. I literally have a dream that God is going to pour out a third great awakening. I know, obviously, you know, that, you know, the church is going to have to be, you know, in agreement with what God is saying. But I'm just believing you. That's why we're on VFN TV and VFN radio, to be able to talk to you and encourage you. Listen, it's God's got good plans in store for you, And I have a dream.
We found another way how you can stay connected with VFN radio. It's the Torch newsletter. Every week, the Torch goes out into your email, whether it's on your phone, tablet, or home PC. The Torch newsletter is going to give you the best of the best of VFN radio for that week. It's also going to give you all the latest highlights. Of course, you can sign up by going to VFNTV.com and selecting newsletter sign up, or you can text VFNTV at 22828 and type in your email address. Sign up for the Torch newsletter now.
Welcome back to VFN-TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
You know, I'm thinking about this prophetic warning dream that just came, you know, on this Sunday. And as Amber was sharing it, you heard at the beginning of our program, There's so many things to it. You know, if God's gifted you with the interpretation of dreams, you know, you can feel free to contact us. But when you think about this, that, you know, when the enemy comes in like a flood, and what was going on? I mean, it was a flood everywhere. And not only that, it was difficult. And you shouldn't walk out in the flood. You shouldn't walk out in the storm. You know, she was going, how stupid is this to have been walking out in the storm? And then she had to contend with potentially falling into a ditch. And, you know, to be honest with you, there's many people who profess a faith in Jesus Christ, but they live their life in the ditch.
Yeah.
You know, and when people reach out a hand to help that person come out of the ditch, they don't want help.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be real difficult if, say, you know, I know I'm in a ditch, I'm in this wrong stuff, but as soon as things get real bad, I'm going to jump out of the ditch.
Yeah, right.
And I'm going to go take cover. And the thing is, just it's going to be difficult just to even stay away from the ditch. How in the world are you going to come out of the ditch?
Like quicksand.
Yeah. Yes, it'd be like quicksand. And so when you're hearing this, I mean, who would have ever thought that we would be having, and some of their goals for this particular conference they were talking about, you know, is to have to raise money for a communication center to be able to, you know, have talking points when things happen. And it's amazing how, you know, religion is all about, you know, I got to say the right words. If I, you know, we got to, you know, those words are wrong. We got, and that's the wrong narrative. And versus like, you know, but with Jesus Christ, the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ comes with power. It doesn't come with enticing words. You know, Paul talks about he renounced all enticing words and any shameful ways. And we shouldn't be okay. It's not about trickery, you know, or concept. Or you don't, people can't talk you into the kingdom of God. You have to decide. God loves you so much that he's going to let the decision be yours. I mean, he is not going to force you to make a decision for him, but he is going to woo you, call you, draw you, warn you, send his love, correct you, anything he can do to, before you're the final day that you have for that to take place, you know? And so, but when you have all this other kind of religion and things of men, they're worried about, you know, the political sphere, what it looks like in the public eye, you know, how is that going to go over with this and go over that? But Jesus wasn't concerned about political correctness. I mean, think about this. Man, we've got to get back in the Word of God because, you know, God's, when you look how Jesus talked about, you know, how the kingdom of heaven is like, and we're supposed to pray that the kingdom of God would be here on earth, right?
Right.
And that the kingdom of God's within us. But, you know, that God's not so concerned about things that we're concerned about. I mean, he's real. I mean, you think about it. You think about how, you know, this big thing about pay. Pay is a, money is about, the root, the love of money is the root to, I think, every form of evil. You can track every single thing back to somebody's going to get paid here. Somebody's going to get more. Somebody's going to be able, you know, it's the reason why Achan has God's honor buried in his tent, the wedge and the jacket. And, there's some sort of payday in there, whether it's power, whether it's money, whether it's something you gain that you, your flesh wants. And, but Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is like this. He says, you know, he asked some workers to come out and, you know, work in his field. And some said yes. And some said no. And the ones that said yes, you know, didn't come. And some that said yes did come, start working. And so they started working all day long. And he says, I'll pay you one denarii, you know, a certain amount of money for you to work in my garden. And so they're working. And all of a sudden these guys that, they went around, obviously, they were probably at Starbucks or something. No. Anyway, so, joking. But then they came back after some of the day has gone along, and they said, ah, we'll work for you. And so they started working for him. And then some more came, almost, I mean, it was almost five knockoff time at 5 o'clock, right? I'm just kind of giving you a picture of what it was.
Is that what knockoff time is?
Yeah, in the kingdom of heaven. No, and so, and all of a sudden, these guys buzz in like at 4:45. And right. they pull one bean, you know what I'm saying? Like one bean, right? And all of a sudden, payday comes. And, you know, those are the first guys in the line, right? That's our test. That's our test, right? And so he starts paying everybody the same wage. Think about this. The same wage. Now, some worked, we'll just use an eight-hour day, for example. Some worked 8 hours, and they were like me. As soon as the boss spoke, they did Ephesians 6. They jumped, and they worked under the Lord. Some people just said, who does he think he is? Some people flattered him and left, but they all eventually came. They came throughout the day, and then finally, from 8 to 5 workday, some showed up right before 5 o'clock. That kind of concept thinking. And so most of us would think, well, I'm going to get paid 8 hours. He's going to get paid 4 hours.
Right.
And this guy's going to get a quarter because he showed up at the last moment, right? And then all of a sudden, he started paying everybody, and he paid everybody for a full day.
Mm.
He paid everybody the same amount. I mean, how many people today are so upset in the office who call themselves a follower of Christ, and you can't get over the fact that you get a nickel less than somebody in the office? Ooh, God is not concerned about that. He wants to bless you, but we're more concerned about that than ISIS coming over our border.
Mm.
We're more concerned about that than the fact that, you know, God gives us the leadership we deserve. When he wants to discipline a nation, he turns that nation's leadership against Israel. And look what's happening. They're turning against Israel. What's the ramifications? That cursed is those who curse Israel, and blessed are those who bless Israel. We have some difficult things that are coming our way because of this, but yet we're like this, not understanding the kingdom of heaven and how it operates. God does what he does, how he wants to do it. And this is when the guy started complaining that was started early in the morning, basically. And this is Jesus talking. He said, isn't it my money? Isn't it mine? Can't I do with it what I want to do? I mean, isn't that day gone for American business person? Mm. You know, they're like, you will buy healthcare. You will pay me this such an hour.
Wow.
You will. And they protest back and forth, you know, with little fish on their sign. And, and you know, down with the boss, down with the boss. It's like, the world could do that. But as Christians, we're supposed to say, if that's what he or she wants to pay me, then that's what I can. And right now, presently, you can switch jobs. I mean, Joseph couldn't switch jobs when he actually had his first job in Egypt, remember?
That's right.
He was stuck until...
Slave.
Slave. And so, when you think about this, when you look at something like that, because where your heart, where your treasure is, that's where your heart is also, we can realize we got to get our head out of the way that the world thinks and the kingdoms of this world thinks and start thinking how God thinks. And this is how God... is communicating that we're hearing, and we're seeing many other people hear the same thing, is that we're in trouble because our Father is upset with us, those that call ourselves followers of Jesus Christ, and that if we respond to him, if we respond to who's outside our borders and who's coming in, who has intentions to harm us, who's, you know, agreeing with nations who are sending missiles now into Iran from Russia, and we're not blinking or winking an eye, I'm like, you know, if we respond to him, he will stop this thing.
Well, the Bible's clear, right? Yeah. Put first the kingdom of heaven, and then all
and
these other things, right?
Yeah,
will be added to us as well.
That's
the
right.
Problem is that we're going for these other things first, and kind of tucking in the kingdom of heaven. But if we take care of what God tells us to take care of, everything's going to work out.
I mean, the whole thing is that just to understand that parallel narrative to ISIS is on the side of your border is like, we got to get our head out of this, out of where we're like, what are we thinking? It's not about some office politics. It's not about politics. It's not about, you know, it's not about all these different things people are. It's everything but what people are talking about. It's us needing to respond to God. And he loves us enough. He loves you enough that if we respond, then he stops. He is totally 100% in control. John, he can stop this thing.
Yeah.
He can stop it. And or he can lessen it. And you got to catch our next program because we're going to be talking about this is a Smita year. It's very relevant. And Jonathan Kahn, you're going to be hearing him on our next program. It's going to just shock you where we are. But it kind of gives you the inside of going, it's not going to be good. And that maybe God will lessen it.
Mm.
But it looks like this thing is crescendoing. But after this, there'll be a blessing. But the thing about this, you have to survive this. You have, and those are the Lord's. You know, he looks over those that are his. And in our second program, we're going to talk more about that. But understand that, you know, if you haven't made a decision for Jesus Christ, today's the day to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really, listen, you could be so religious. I'm telling you. You could actually have gone to church your whole life, you know, go to church your whole life and not know Jesus. It's possible. Or you could have never darkened the doors of a church before or even known about this Jesus that I'm talking about. But now can be your time that you say, you know what? I may have been religious. I may have never even been religious at all. But I have not yet said, Jesus, you're the Son of God. I want to make you the Lord of my life. I want you in my life.
Mm.
And I trust you. I'm not going to try to figure everything out. I'm not going to walk back and forth and complain about how you're managing your kingdom. I'm just going to submit to you and follow you and just seek your mercy, your grace, your love, and your forgiveness, and allow you to lead me. That's it. That's how simple it is. You know, we actually made that choice ourselves, and it's not about how good anybody is. I mean, you can tell by just, you know, Pat's testimony. It's not, or my testimony. It's just, and we wrote it out so we could just show you how bad we are outside of God. Mm-hmm. And it was God reaching down and touching us. So we did that at meetmyfather.org. You know, you got to meet Father God through his son, Jesus Christ. Go to meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
Well, we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Dude, I can't take this. Guys, let's go.
Well, let me ask you this.
I made it through four innings, bro.
You're kidding
four
me.
Four innings. That's all I can handle.
You tortured your family and you guys left?
I feel bad that I tortured my family.
What
I made them stay there that long.
You did they left?
They were totally cool with it. Let's go. So we got up and we left. They left.
A nine-inning game and they leave.
I can only stand four innings.
See, baseball is America's pastime.
No, it's your pastime.
It's America's pastime. 162 games a season. 162 games.
I don't understand this.
He can do 4 innings, let alone 162 games.
Unbelievable. Well, you have to communicate. If I could have been a fly there just to see... Did you guys talk?
Dude,
did
it's
you?
So boring, dude. They actually have to have these intermission things to excite the crowd in between the innings because there's nothing going on.
You have to understand the
no,
game.
No, they're like doing these little vent things like kids running around the bases and
Elijah,
this
we will
stuffed
talk about
animal
this
looking
tonight.
Dude
we will.
Running around.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. You know, I want to just give you a brief. We have the entire We have the entire 30-minute warning available for you on the VFNTV.com at the Torch. But I want you to hear just a piece of and watch a piece of Rick Joyner talking about this prophetic warning that was given. Now, this was given September the 19th, and it's like we are on that moment at this point. Think about this. Watch.
They were invading the Southwest United States. There were droves. It was coming like a plague. Now, I saw one of their attacks in great detail against a Texas ranch. It was a ranch I knew to be in Texas. Some things in dreams you just know. I knew the house, the family. This gang had herded up everybody there that was in the dozens of people, whether they were workers, family members, everybody. And I am not going to share the details of the dream after that. I hope to never share them. I don't want to share them with anyone. I don't want to remember them. They were so horrific. Cruelty on this level, you know, I mean, I have done in-depth studies of the cruelty in the Middle Ages and things like that, but this was a whole new level of demonic cruelty. It wasn't just about killing people. It was about bringing as much absolute pain, terror, everything else you can before death, and everybody in the most cruel way was killed. And, you know, I just don't want to go into the details here. Those are not necessary, but I think it is necessary to understand we're dealing with something, there's no mercy. That is absolutely not an option with these people.
You think about that.
Matter of fact,
you think about this, that the whole thing is available to you on VFNTV.com. But we've been warning. We've been talking about this. But now these ISIS camps are right outside of our borders. Mm-hmm. Our president and our legislator, they're just stuck in regards to they can't figure out how to solve the borders. It's being spoken about like it's a minor thing. And I believe that men can't stop what God is putting together until what will stop it is when our hearts stop and say, in regards to darkness, and we say, God, I want light. I want what you want. Mm-hmm. God, help me. I want. And it's not about becoming perfect or anything like that because, you know, Romans 7 talks about, you know, the battle between law and morality. I mean, Paul's battling back and forth going, you know, I want to want to do good, but I can't do good. And he's talking about that. So God saves us from that in that battle is the very fact that we want to actually have that contention in our life. And we're not upset about that. But it's, we've got to make a decision to say, you know what? You know, God, this thing is evil.
Mm-hmm.
This thing is, and think about this. Wouldn't you want to know? Wouldn't you want to know that this has happened? The things that the Lord has shown me, that he's shown Rick, he's shown, you just heard Amber, you know, she was talking just this Sunday, and it's just come, we had others to be, we could have been able to play for you, and you could have seen, and there's this, it's like contractions for a birth that you know, the closer it gets, the closer the contractions get, and I've never seen so many confirmations about what's to happen. You think, well, why would God tell us? One is to prepare. If you're a believer, I'm just telling you to prepare. Don't think, you know, well, God's going to take care of me. Well, he is with wisdom. He's going to say, this is what you need to do. And if in fact it's shifted, it's amazing how the things come to the Lord. People go, you know, well, you know, God's going to take care of me. Well, if that's true, why do you go to work?
Right.
You know, why do you cook over the stove? You know, why do you live under shelter somewhere? Yeah.
He didn't deliver the food with the bird. No.
I mean that happened. I mean, that, you know, that's a rare. This is basically what Rick Joyner said. He said that did happen. You know, maybe you know 0.1% in scriptures, but the other 99.9%. He said, right. He said, until I hear an audible voice from the Lord about saying a raven's going to come and feed you, and God can do that, and He can multiply things. But if we just sit back and do nothing, then we didn't heed to the warning. I mean, why would he be warning us? Why would he be telling us? So the first thing is, this is what Proverbs says, you know, when a prudent man sees danger, he prepares for it. A fool keeps going and suffers for it. So God's saying, you know, prepare. And one way to prepare, we have prudent preparation available for you right now. If you sign up for our Torch newsletter, I think you get it. Just go to vfntv.com, upper right-hand corner. We got a free newsletter that comes to you, keeps you updated, and you will actually be sent that or access to that. It's called Prudent Preparation, Be Prepared. The other is physically prepared. The other is and emotionally prepared. The other way to prepare is to be spiritually prepared.
Yeah.
You know, don't get caught up in trying to save America while your own soul is lost. Mm. Don't be caught up in some political party while the fact you don't even know who Jesus is. You mean people told you who he is, but you don't know who he is. And this whole thing is about him allowing events to happen in such a way to get your attention to say, I am real. I exist. I created everything. I am God of the universe, and I am not far from you. I'm waiting for you, as he says in Acts chapter 17, to reach out to me. That's what he's wanting you to do. So it's not a negative thing. Even in our sin and our muck and our mire and our not even, you know, just, you know, coming into the last hour, you know, we can reach out to him and just say, you know what, God, I need you, Jesus. I accept you, Jesus. You're the only way, Jesus. Lord, forgive me. I want you to be the Lord of my life. And this is so important because when we do this, I mean, God just works miracles. I mean, just this week, I mean, I can't even tell you the miracles that happened, and miracles in regards to jobs and transportation and miracles in regards to healings, miraculous healings that people had diagnosis that was, you know, a fatal diagnosis that God in 48 hours totally healed this person. Houses that were meant to go that God provided and gave favor and just did things. I mean, it's amazing what the Lord's doing. He cares about everything you care about. He's involved. He wants to be involved in your life, but you have to involve him in your life. He's saying this. I believe it's in Isaiah. God shakes the whole world to teach it righteousness. And when things are being shaken, they're being shaken to the core right now. And it's going to intensify as you find out in our next program. You got to catch our next program. You know, we're talking about the Shemitah year. This is that year in it right this moment. Mm. And it's crescendoing right now. And you got to catch your balance now because it's going to be tough if you try to catch your balance once it starts rocking.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, you just got to hold on. But you can if you hold on to Jesus. If you hold on to Jesus. It makes me think about this. It makes me think about this movie, Believe. You got to see this. Watch this. This is powerful. Watch this.
Do you believe in the cross of Christ?
I'm a pastor.
If you believe, then the question is, what are you going to do about it?
What are you going to do about it? Think about it. We have so many people saying they're Christians in America. So many people, that even people that understand who aren't Christian, understand if Christians wake up, then America will be saved.
Yeah, big difference between a fan and a player.
Yes, and so you think about this. This man is walking up to this pastor in this car, and he's saying, do you believe in the cross of Christ, the power of what God did on the cross? And the question is, if you do believe, what are you doing about it? And right now, there's very little being done. But just this moment in time, you can be the one that says, you know what? I'm going to do something about it. I'm going to stand up for God. I'm going to do what's right. If it costs me my everything, I want it all to be for God. You know, who is going to lead in this generation? Who is going to stand up? Who are you waiting for? I'll tell you who God's waiting for. He's waiting for you. Do you believe in the cross of Christ? What are you going to do about it? John, can you lead us in prayer? We want to pray for you.
Lord, we just thank you, God. We thank you that we can come before you, Lord, and we just cry out for mercy. Lord, just like Amber saw in her dream, we cry out for mercy for America, mercy on our nation, God. Yes. Lord, we know, God, that all mercy. We need to do is repent and turn back to you, Lord, that we would just get the sin out of our lives, Lord, and that we would make you Lord of all. Father, we pray that you'd bring safety to America, Lord, that you would give us leaders to be watchmen on the walls, Lord, that would warn us and prepare us as they're doing now. But most of all, God, help us to take heed of the warning. Yes. And we thank you in advance, God, and we thank you for a great move of God, a third great awakening, Lord, to touch this nation, God, from coast to coast, touch every generation, every culture for the glory of God. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
You know, when you think about the church, you know, and what the enemy has done, the mindset, the vocabulary, the first thing that God started doing with us is to recapture the vocabulary again of what God is actually saying. I mean, you can really mess things up by changing the meaning of words, you know. You could just change the meaning of it, and all of a sudden you've got things going in a different direction. And so we had to rediscover, you know, what is the church? And we found out that the church is not a building. You know, we like buildings. I got a couple of good friends that are buildings, you know. But the whole thing is that the church is people. You know, we're the building of God, that know ye not that Christ dwells in you. The hope of glory is inside of you. All these wonderful things that we talk about. But understanding this is that, you know, so when you begin to be the church and you're abiding with God and you're hearing him and you're operating in family, you know, you have brothers and sisters and fathers and mothers in the Lord and all this wonderful stuff, and it's just fun. You know, you look for a time to go there, but you still have, you know, things you're dealing with. You're still in the same storm everybody else is in. You're still in the same nation. You're still in the same workplace. So you're having these pains and these struggles you're going through, and it's difficult, but yet it's encouraging that we have this. But, you know, John, I could only imagine how hard it is for somebody right now. If you're listening to us today and you don't have that relationship, I mean, you love Jesus, you know, you're born again, but you're in this whole, I don't know, the best way I can describe it is tradition, where, you know, men's philosophies and concepts and programs, and but you're not in family. I mean, you can call things family. I mean, so many people call things family, but you know what family is. You don't have to call it family. It just is, and he's called us to be the family of God. And if you're going through all the same stuff that we're going through, but you're doing it outside of family, think about it. That's got to be horrific. I couldn't imagine. Well, actually, I could, because I remember what it was like when I was going through that without having what God has done with us today in regards to family. Yeah, I mean, you might have had somebody that's friended you on Facebook, but, you know, just friending somebody does not mean that they're a friend. I mean, you think about it. If you had a, I know this, John. Remember when we went to help out with the hurricanes that happened in New Orleans? Right. And, you know, it was just horrific what happened, and still have scars today inside of our heart for what happened. It was so bad, couldn't fix it. And the crux of it really was in Waveland that was flattened, and then the waters, you know, busted in New Orleans and flooded. But, you know, the church didn't know each other, and they were scattered all over the place, and they couldn't find the church because there was no authentic family-type burdened relationship. So other parts of the church who didn't know the parts of the church come in and start helping everybody. The pastors left the church. They just left. The shepherds, they left, you know, and Jesus says that's a hireling. It's a hard, but I have empathy though for a leader of a traditional situation because, you know, it goes both ways. You know, they don't have a relationship with you. You don't have a relationship with them. And the thing about family is you both have to invest.
That's right.
You know, but it's hard to do in that kind of setting. Well, I encourage you, if you haven't even thought about, you know, just walking out what God says in his word, that it's not foreign. It really is true. It's happening at the Vine Fellowship Network. It's actually happening. You can go to VFNfamily.org and find out more about it.